Support for NPR and the following message come from Carvana, on a mission to make car buying more convenient and affordable than ever before. In minutes, you can browse thousands of options under $20,000. Visit Carvana.com or download the app today to get started.
This is an encore episode of Ask Me Another.
From NPR and WNYC, coming to you from beautiful Brooklyn, New York, it's NPR's hour of puzzles, word games, and trivia. Ask Me Another. I'm Jonathan Colton. Now here's your host, Ophira Eisenberg.
Thank you, Jonathan. How are you doing?
I'm okay. How you doing?
Well, I've got some family news.
Oh, family news. My favorite.
Okay. This is about Lucas, my child. We came in from playing outside, and he doesn't want to wash his hands. Like, we always have to ask him 1,000 times to wash his hands. So he came in, and I was taking off my jacket and my shoes, and he sat on the couch, and I was like, no, you got to go wash your hands. And he was sitting beside his father, and then I went and washed my hands, and my husband said to him, did you wash your hands? And he said, yeah, I went to the other bathroom and washed my hands.
Uh-oh.
And I was like, Lucas, you're fibbing. I know you didn't do that. Come right now and wash your hands. And he came into the bathroom and started washing his hands. And I felt like I needed to kind of underscore this or highlight it, underscore it both. And I said to him again, that was fibbing. You can't lie about something like that. It's really bad. And he just like melted into tears and his lips started quivering. And he was like, when I started to do it, I knew it. It felt bad.
Oh, no. I feel like I remember this moment for myself. I remember I was taking a bath and I wanted a bubble bath and I didn't have any bubbles. So I grabbed a bottle of something and dumped it into the tub. Splashing
right,
around
so
and
the
made some
most
bubbles.
Expensive shampoo
yeah,
or
it was
body
my mother's,
wash.
It was my mother's very expensive shampoo. And she came in to check on me and she was like, did you dump all the shampoo into the tub? And I was like, no. And it was, you know, a clear lie. And she did the same thing. She was like, and she said specifically, like, you've never lied to me before and I'm really disappointed. And it was crushing. It was crushing.
Yeah.
So here's the headline. He's going to remember this for the rest of his life.
Good. Good. You know what you'll remember for the rest of your life? Today's awesome show. Yeah. Our special guest hosts the comedy podcast. My brother, and me, we have podcast magnates, the McElroy brothers, Justin, Travis, and Griffin. They're going to tell us about their book, Everybody Has a Podcast Except You. And we'll challenge the three brothers to three games. But before that, you'll meet two other hilarious podcast hosts. Actually, this show is so fun. You know, we should just do it. Let's do it. Our first two contestants are comedians and co-hosts the podcast, The War Report. It's Shalewa Sharp and Gaster Almonte. Hello.
Yo, what's going on?
Hello.
Okay, I have to start this. I was thinking about both of you because we've seen each other in many different live show performances, but now over a year ago. Both of you have shown me unbelievably random acts of kindness that stick in my mind. So I just want to have this moment to tell you. Shalewa, I don't know if you remember this, but we were doing some show, stand-up show. I feel like it was almost a year ago. And I know you, but I don't know you well. And we saw each other. I went in for a hug. You are a hugger, so it was okay.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a deep, meaningful embrace, which at the time, I really did need emotionally.
Yeah, that sounds right. I do kind of remember that.
And Gaster, we, again, kind of met through the storytelling scene, but didn't know each other very well. But then we were doing a show together out in Long Island, And I didn't have a ride back. And you were like, I'll give you a ride back. Which, again, having someone you don't really know in your car.
It was a great town, too. I had a blast.
But you were totally cool about it. And I was very grateful. I was like, that is an extreme act of kindness. When someone's just like, yeah, no problem.
I can't leave somebody from Brooklyn hanging like that. It's just rude.
So you both do a podcast together called The War Report. And yeah. So what was the inspiration to, like, hang out and do a project together, or was it something you were thinking about for a while and finally had time for?
Extreme loneliness?
Yeah, yeah. this was a Gastor brain child.
Yeah, I'm inspired by, like, 90s hip-hop. There was a really cool album called The War Report by this group called Capone and Noriega, and it was just these two young kids giving their take on what was happening in their neighborhood. So I was like, oh, I could do that. And I realized, like, every time I bumped in a shot of show, we'd have these great conversations about what was happening. And by the same token, when we got on stage, we never talk about any of that stuff. Like, Shalewa and I right. don't do topical jokes. It's just not, you know, our cup of tea. So I was like, yo, we have, like, really valid, funny takes that are interesting that we just aren't using. So I called up Shalewa after, like, saying that repeatedly to my very, very understanding and patient wife. And Shalewa instantly says, yeah, I'm down. That sounds cool.
I mean, it was a really well thought out pitch. Well practiced.
And I like that your show notes for a podcast are transparent about what's going on in the pod that mm-hmm. week, and including one of the bonuses just says, we didn't do a bonus this week and it's Gaster's fault. I was like, wow, not even gonna hide that, huh?
Yeah, that's one of my favorite episodes.
Yeah. I gotta say, like, I made an apologetic phone call to Shalewa about the audio.
Yeah.
Like,
yes,
this is
did.
On me. I made a really touching R&B Quiet Storm kind of song.
I mean, touching.
Apologizing to the family.
You want to go with touching? It was something. It was heartfelt. It was something. You will feel. You will feel.
You'll feel something.
Yes.
Fantastic. All right. This is perfect because this first game is called Fast Slow Jams.
Okay.
We're going to play you a sped up clip of a famous slow jam song. Mm-hmm. And you're just going to take turns identifying what you're hearing.
Okay. All right.
I'm with it.
Shalewa, you are up first, and this
All
clip
right.
is for you.
Okay. That is Alvin and the Chipmunks doing Let's Get It On by Marvin Gaye.
That's right.
Yep, yep, yep.
Exactly.
I'm kind of here for it. It's kind of my speed. It's kind of my speed when I come to romance. Just like, let's get this over
don't
with
mess
everybody.
Around, so I don't have
let's,
too much
you know,
time.
No, let's no. go.
Did you
Law and Order will be on in a few minutes.
All right, Gaster, here is one for you.
Oh, shit, man. It doesn't seem to me like it's enough. It's just not enough.
See, I'm at a disadvantage here, right? So all I don't know these songs, but they all sound like, yo, somebody's about to drop the best rap verse ever to this thing right here. Yep. They all sound like Cam'ron and Jay-Z's about to come on and just crush it.
That's true.
Well, I'll give you a hint. You may have noticed that even though this recording was sped up, the singer's voice was still very, very deep.
Deep voice, people that sang, I know Barry White.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
I feel like I'm in one of those, like, reaction videos where everybody knows a song they showing their teenage son.
Oh, those are fun. That's I love great. Those. I just watched a few of those.
I don't know many of his songs. Barry White, he has
I'll tell you what it is. I'll give
yeah.
you
because you got
it
right.
Barry White.
Yeah.
So we'll
yeah,
we'll
you
give
got
you the
that.
Point. This song is called Can't Get Enough of Your Love, Baby.
Okay.
Can't get enough of your love, babe.
And I say that all the time in my house, just in general. Sure. I should have like known that.
You should just, let Barry White say it. You don't have to. Then you don't have to.
It does not count if you sing that song to a sandwich gas store. That does not count.
That is, I mean, I was just going to say, if you're saying that to your spouse, quarantine has gone well for you, because right. I am like, yeah. I've had enough of everyone's love.
I would like to be alone. A little less of your love, please.
Yeah, exactly.
Less often.
All right, Shalewa, mm-hmm. This one is for you.
All right. Oh, Easy Like Sunday Morning.
Yeah,
yeah, that's
Commodores.
Right. Commodores, yeah. My favorite, if you'll indulge me for a moment, this song contains one of my favorite moments in guitar history, which is in the guitar solo.
Okay.
And I think we have a clip of that. I just want to play it right now because I like to hear it. That's it, right there. Just that little my favorite thing. Rick!
Oh,
so great.
It feels like it's something that's been unconsciously ripped off by so many rock bands. Like, they don't even understand that where they got that from. And they're like, look what I did. And it's like, but I'm pretty sure a Commodore did it already.
Yeah. Well, that's, that sort of thing has never happened in popular culture.
No,
before.
Not at all. No. Not at all.
Kind of theft.
Stealing from Bob Commodore. Aren't they all... Aren't they all just something Commodore, like Johnny Commodore, I think.
Yeah, Johnny Commodore, Ricky Commodore, the brothers, Commodore brothers.
Yeah, the Commodores. Yeah. I think that's how they came up with their name.
That was correct.
Correct. Okay. There you go.
Okay, last clip is for you, Gastor.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know that.
This is the most recent of the ones we've listened to.
Yeah, like this.
So this is in your era.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. Like, this was definitely like on the mixtape where like I wanted to lose my virginity to, but couldn't yet. Like, I wasn't good enough.
Yes, it is. It's a classic on that. It's a classic on that. Yes.
So this is this woman is from a famous musical family.
Okay.
There was a family band. She was not in it.
Oh, this is Mrs. Jackson.
It certainly is.
Yeah. That's what it is. Yeah, I did. See, this was definitely on those tapes.
Do you know the song title?
I Get So Lonely, right? This is
I Get Lonely. That's
I remember the hook. Yeah, this is fire. I like this. This played a lot in my uncle's car when I used to pretend to drive it. I was like, I'm gonna sit up here in this Celica. You know?
After the break, Shalewa Sharp and Gastor Almonte turn our game This, That, or the Other into an intellectual masterpiece. And a little later, the McElroy brothers tell us all about their podcasting empire. I'm Ophira Eisenberg. This is Ask Me Another from NPR.
On this week's episode of Wildcard, actor Chris Pine tells us it's okay not to be perfect.
My film got absolutely decimated when it premiered, which brings up for me one of my primary triggers or whatever is like not being liked.
I'm Rachel Martin. Chris Pine on how to find joy in imperfection. That's on NPR's new podcast, Wildcard, the game where cards control the conversation. I'm Rachel Martin. You probably know how interview podcasts with famous people usually go. There's a host, a guest, and a light Q&A. But on Wildcard, we have ripped up the typical script. It's a new podcast from NPR where I invite actors, artists, and comedians to play a game using a special deck of cards to talk about some of life's biggest questions. Listen to Wildcard wherever you get your podcasts, only from NPR.
I'm Jesse Thorne. Why did Cola Scola write a bonkers, extremely fictionalized play about Mary Todd Lincoln?
Well, you know, it was 2020 and we were all so isolated. I just started doing research. But the truth is, I just thought of it.
We'll talk about that and more on Bullseye from MaximumFun.org and NPR.
The Embedded Podcast brings you eye-opening reporting.
There's something that hasn't been disclosed yet.
Immersive journalism.
I could smell the smoke. I could smell the dust.
personal stories.
I was scared. Like, I can't protect you.
We are NPR's home for documentary storytelling. Find Embedded wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Ask Me Another, NPR's Hour of Trivia and Loungewear. I'm Jonathan Colton. Here's your host, Ophira Eisenberg.
Thanks, Jonathan. We're playing games with comedians and podcast hosts, Shalewa Sharp and Gaster Almonte. Are you guys ready for another one?
Oh, yes.
Let's do it.
Okay, so this game is called, it's one of our favorites, called This, That, or the Other. We're going to give you the name of something.
Mm-hmm.
And you just have to tell us which of three categories it belongs to. So, Jonathan Colton, what are today's categories?
Today's categories are characters from the TV show Bridgerton, which is a sexy historical romance based on a book series produced by Shonda Rhimes and largely takes place in early 19th century London, sweatpants brands, or types of potato.
Okay.
Okay, I can do this.
All right. Yeah, yeah.
All right. Yeah. Gaster, this first one is for you.
Let's do it.
King Edward.
All right, this feels like a setup.
This whole game is a setup.
That's all. Yeah, that's all it is. So, that's all it is.
One setup after another.
I know it's too easy to be Bridgerton.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so it's got to be. See, what was potato or the other? What was the other one?
Sweatpants. Sweatpants. Like a sweatpants brand.
That would be a really hard brand. King Edward Sweats.
It's a good idea, but it's yeah. It seems jokey.
Yeah, I feel like potatoes, like, they always try to, like, outdo each other. You'd be like, yo, I got a Yukon potato, Yukon gold. So I could see someone saying, like, yo, I got the King Edward potato, B. You ain't know about me. I got King Edward Bibles, potatoes. You know what I mean? I do all King Edwards in my house. So, yeah. Yo, where you get your French fries from? The Yukons? Nah. King Edwards only in my house.
That's
all
right.
The potatoes I do. Yeah, King Edwards has to be a potato.
All of these things are correct. All of them. Everything you said is correct. Yes, and these potatoes are from the UK, and they were created by a guy named John Butler in 1902, and he named the potato after King Edward the VII in honor of his coronation the same year.
I love it.
Yeah.
Y'all that's really suing my shot there. That's awesome.
Yeah. That's it.
You reasoned it out. You're not supposed to be able to do that with this game, but you did it. Fantastic. Okay, Shalewa.
Yes.
Brimsley.
Okay. I'm going to say Bridgerton character, although kind of all I know about Bridgerton characters is that I have an aunt who watched it recently, and she really enjoyed that young man, was all she said.
that sounds right.
That is a sound review of Bridgerton.
It must be good.
Really enjoyed that young man.
She's I'm older, but I'm not blind. I really enjoyed that young man. And I said, okay. I mean, I'm not going to question it. So I'm going to say it's a Bridgerton character.
Yeah, you are correct.
Oh, wow.
Correct. Yeah, well done.
Brimsley's the queen's right-hand man on the show.
Oh, okay.
All right. Gaster.
Talk to me.
Russet Burbank.
Russet Burbank. That dude sound rich. Yeah, that sound like a rich person to me. The only way that's closed, if it's like Russet, the Burbank edition, you know, then I could see it being like a name brand, you know, then that would make sense to me.
Be like, Russet, Burbank, Paris.
Exactly. Yeah, right. You know. Yeah, Polo Ralph Lauren. You know what I mean? You got the levels to it. I know there's russet potatoes, but the Burbank is throwing me off. Like, that sound like special edition. Like, russet sound like the unsuccessful person in a rich family.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
Like, russet, man. Yo, nobody talks to russet, B. The rest of the Burbanks, okay? We don't rock with russet.
Right, Russet's an embarrassment to the Burbanks. The youngest brother.
Yeah, Russet's a DJ.
Yeah, you know?
Yeah.
Like the king, like, named the other two kids, and, like, he's not sure Russet is his. So he was like, Name him whatever you want. You can call him Russet for all I care.
Yeah. Name him after a potato. I don't care.
Yeah. If it's Russet alone, I would go potato. Mm. Russet Burbank. Yeah, I got to go character.
All right. It's a potato.
Oh! Okay, so then my question is, are they growing potatoes in Burbank?
Yeah.
So it's less commonly known as the netted gem. All Burbank potatoes are named after American Luther Burbank, who improved the disease resistance of Irish potatoes, and russet just means reddish brownish.
Oh, sure.
Shalewa.
Mm-hmm.
Mac Weldon.
I mean, that is also a DJ.
Totally.
I thought he was on The Wire, right? Didn't he like make a...
That's a sweatpant. I'm seeing a young brunette man, thin. Thin. Uh-huh. The biggest thing on him are his two white sneakers. Yeah, those are definitely... It's a slim cut. I feel like it's a slim cut.
You are correct. I'm so impressed. Visual thinking. Yeah. Clearly.
It's amazing. Yeah. All right, Gaster. Gildan.
Gildan, okay. I wouldn't eat Gildan. That just sounds terrible. So gross. Potatoes out the way. Definitely not. That don't sound edible. Like, you wouldn't put that on the menu, you know? Yeah, I wouldn't put... Yeah, you put butter on your Gildans? No. Can't do that. So it's definitely not a potato.
Butter on your Gildans.
I like a little butter on my Gildans.
Wow.
I would wear some Gildans. Gildans. You cop them Gildans? Yeah. Like, if it's a brand, I got to think, all right, somebody at a marketing agency okayed this.
Right.
So that's my thinking. So they were like, they knew that some kid would think this is catchy. So I'm picturing those conversations. Like, yo, you cop the Gildans? Yeah, yo, right. The Gildans are hard, B. I'm crazy. Yo, you got the Gildan 4s in blue?
The Gildan 4s?
Gildan 4s in blue.
Now sold out.
Yeah, they sold out. It's crazy, B. You got to get on
the
blue
app. Fours.
Yeah. Yeah, all right, I'm going to go sweats, but if it's not, this is definitely also a company I'm starting.
Okay.
Yeah.
It is sweatpants. It is sweatpants. This is a low-cost brand of sweatpants that made the Cut's recent 25 best sweatpants for women list. You know that's recent. And, yeah.
All right, there's one left, and it is for you, Shalewa.
Okay.
Queen Charlotte.
Well, I mean, that's either... wait, no, that could be a potato. For a second, I thought it was a piercing. But it's not. It is not. I'm going to say it's the Bridgerton character.
You are absolutely correct.
Oh, yay.
Yeah. I have to tell you, I want just so much more Gaster and Shalewa. This is such a delight. We have
very
to
fun.
Wrap it up, but I got to say, just thank you. Just thank you.
Yeah, you guys are the best.
You're the best.
Thanks. Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Comedian Shalewa Sharp and Gaster Almonte host the podcast The War Report. New episodes drop Thursdays and sometimes bonuses on Mondays. Shalewa, Gaster, thank you so much.
Thanks. Y'all for having us.
Our special guests for the rest of today's show are podcasting royalty. The McElroy brothers host the popular comedy advice show My Brother, and Me, and they make about a million others, including the medical history show Sawbones and the Dungeons & Dragons podcast The Adventure Zone. They have a new book called Everybody Has a Podcast Except You. Justin, Travis, Griffin, welcome to Ask Me Another.
Hi.
Oh, hi. Thanks for having
us.
So, you know, and I was just kind of trying to keep track because you do numerous podcasts and then you have done other podcasts. How many are actively happening as a family right now? Like all of you with your wives.
Do you even know that number?
Isn't it 11? Is it 11 currently?
Well, yeah, because we have So
here we go.
Okay. My Brother, My Brother and Me, Adventure yes. Zone, Sawbones, Schmanners, Wonderful, Besties, Empty Bowl, Till Death Do Us Blart.
Till Death Do Us Blart is important. I think that's it.
I think that's all that's... No, because then they're still buffering.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that's nine.
That's it.
Nine currently active.
But it's, what does it say about us that it took us about a minute of arithmetic to reach that number?
There's a there's a lot of corpses on that road, though.
It's a long road with a lot of dead podcasts. Throughout history, 24 to 30. Somewhere in there, depending on what you categorize as an actual show. Some shows only made it an episode or two. You know what I mean? Yeah. Does that count? I don't know.
It counts. But so when you're doing this much product with each other, and obviously you're doing it with your wives, there's different iterations of who is together on these podcasts, and then you're producing them on both ends a lot of time. Are you ever talking to each other when a microphone is not in front of you? Is it sometimes like this is how we interact now? Period.
The only other time is when our kids FaceTime with each other, and occasionally our big faces will like lean in and be like, "That's true," or "Oh yeah." Like, there's some of that. I don't know if that counts.
Put down that knife.
Yeah, and we'll still like, even when we're talking and our kids are talking, and we'll lean in, we will throw it to an ad break. Yeah. Like, it's just reflexive at that point.
And to be fair, Casper Mattresses does sponsor dinner at my house, so like, it makes a lot of sense.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is it served on a mattress? Do you guys serve it on a mattress?
We eat the mattress.
Yeah,
I know. There's nothing they can't do.
They say in the ad copy that you can't say. It's good to eat the Casper mattress, but like we can say it here that it's good to eat. It tastes.
You can say it here.
It tastes good.
It's a safe place.
It tastes good. It makes you strong and keeps you regular. It has all the vitamins and nutrients that your body needs.
And it gives you the ability to be rolled up into a really tight roll and stuffed into a box far smaller than you'd expect.
Oh, God, that's how I want to go. Isn't that the dream? To just be squished down flat in one of those Casper boxes.
Get to heaven and St. Peter cuts you open and you just...
Whoa!
Well, I want to talk to you about your new podcasting book, but why don't we play a game first?
Absolutely.
Yes, please. Yes.
All right.
So, I don't know if you guys know this, but you are brothers.
Mm-hmm.
That's the, that's the end of that.
Are you brothers?
I just want to confirm that that's true, because that is what I have heard.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we're going to play a game called David Bowie, which is where I'm going to perform a David Bowie song, but with the lyrics changed to be about something associated with what you might call bro culture.
Okay.
And although the premise of this game is gendered, we acknowledge that anyone of any gender can enjoy these things. But for the purposes of the pun, the game is called David Bowie.
Got it.
All you have to do is tell me the thing I'm singing about and the name of the song I'm parodying.
Okay.
Or the name of the
now
song.
Now, most David Bowie songs are about bro culture, so I don't think it's going to be that much of a stretch.
And you're going to work together, yes?
Working together,
we're working together on this.
All right.
Okay. Here we go. This is Ari Gold to Vincent Chase. Come on, let's hug it out. Hindsight says we should have quit while we were ahead. But we ended with a bad movie instead.
Oh no, you've terribly upset Travis. You have
Travis
really
was like wow. You were pumping your arms in the air. Was it because of the song recognition?
This is because it's about Entourage, a show which inexplicably, I've seen every episode and the movie of, and let's be clear, every episode multiple times for some reason. And the thing is, the movie is not bad, Jonathan Colton, when you understand one fact about it. That movie is unstuck in time, because technically it is set in 2014, right after the events of the show finished, but references things and cars that only existed in 2015 and 2016 when the movie was made.
Have made a terrible, terrible mistake.
Yeah.
That was Space Oddity also.
Thank you.
It was Space Oddity, that's correct. Yeah.
Oh, right.
Thank you, Griffin, for following the rules and bringing us back to the game. I appreciate it. All right, here's another one.
Brother, brother, you must drink up. My ball landed in your solo cup. In this frat house, how drunk you'll get. every time my balls get wet.
It's about beer pong. And I'm realizing now that I might be a part of bro culture.
Yeah, Travis, I just want to circle back. Travis said he inexplicably has watched all of Entourage a few times. Uh-huh. I would say the explanation is you enjoy Entourage.
It seems highly explicable.
That seems like Hawkins' so razor. That's sort of the obvious one, yeah.
Can crushing. I say Rebel Rebel before we go
yeah,
too
yeah.
far?
Yeah, yeah, Rebel okay. Rebel, Rebel Rebel's you. Correct. Beer pong
oh,
and Rebel
wait,
Rebel.
When did the Hamburglar get here?
All right, here's another one.
Comfort of knowing all my stuff is close by. Wallet and phone are hanging on my thigh. They're not long pants, the hem is higher. No, I'm not fishing, I am at Lowe's.
So great. There you go.
It's Ice Ice Baby is the song.
Yeah. Yeah. you were singing about large cargo pants?
Cargo pants. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, correct.
I'm going to push back on this. I'm going to die on this hill. Bros aren't wearing cargo pants. They're wearing chubbies. They're wearing short shorts. They're wearing Dockers.
Uh-huh. Griffin, I hate to do this to someone on a Zoom, but yeah. I think you are wearing cargo shorts right now.
I'm actually wearing chubbies right now, but that's besides. I live in Texas. It's warm here. It's warm here.
Got it.
Justin just Jesus. Laughed so hard his camera fell over.
So that was, of course, Under Pressure. And yes. I knew that you knew that because you said Ice Ice Baby, which was the song that famously stole the riff. And I think Vanilla Ice
it's hard to say who's
I'm going to push back
who.
On that. Under Pressure is dun 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 dun. And Ice Ice Baby is dun 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 dun.
That was brilliant.
All right, this is the last one.
I say suit up, so let's suit up. I say wait for it, so wait. Too bad Marshall and Ted don't have my skills in bed. I score a lot, I'm on CBS, and I look like Doogie Howser.
It's a song about Barney Stinson.
Yeah, from the hit show.
How I Met Your Mother.
That is correct.
Wow, that's good. That really tickled me, Jonathan. Thank you. I'm really delighted in that.
It was Let's Dance.
Yeah, that's right. Correct.
You did great. That's all you need to know, because we've covered the songs. You know, you knew every pop culture reference that we threw at you. Win all round. Thank you. Yeah. Is what
is
I'm
there
trying
prize?
To say. Yep.
All right.
Satisfaction.
Oh, satisfaction. Okay.
After the break, we'll play more games with the McElroys and talk about their new book, Everybody Has a Podcast Except You. Except me. I'm Ophira Eisenberg, and this is Ask Me Another from NPR.
In any great story, there's a moment that sparks your curiosity. It tells you there is more to uncover.
How did this happen? How did we get here?
That's where Embedded comes in. We are NPR's home for documentary journalism, immersive and intimate stories.
I was stone cold speechless.
Nothing will ever, 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 ever be the same here.
Find Embedded wherever you get your podcasts. Do you wish stories could unfold over 3 hours rather than 3 minutes? You tired of doom scrolling? Trying to find humanity? Or maybe a deeper understanding of why the world is the way it is? Listen to Embedded, NPR's original documentary series. Find us wherever you get your podcasts.
Summer is for going to the movie theater because it's too hot to stay home. It's for driving with the windows down, listening to your favorite music. It's for stretching out while you're on vacation to gobble up a TV show. For a guide to some of the TV, movies, and music we are most excited about this summer, listen to the Pop Culture Happy Hour podcast from NPR.
This is NPR's Ask Me Another. I'm Jonathan Colton. Here's your host, Ophira Eisenberg.
Thanks, Jonathan. I'm here with Justin Travis and Griffin McElroy. They host the comedy podcast My Brother, and Me, and make a bunch of other popular shows. Hey, I really enjoyed your book, Everybody Has a Podcast Except You.
Thank you.
I like that you checked the cover of the book for the you in case there was like a different, there was like, except for Jason Dave. Douglas
well,
of
you know,
Wyoming.
When I read it to myself, it's like, except for you. And then I realized that, you know, it was talking to me.
Yeah.
Right.
I was like, wait
true.
A second.
Right. It's false. So
then I was trying to figure out my audience when I was reflecting that book back to everyone here who has a podcast.
Oh, man, we didn't even think about that. People who have podcasts already aren't going to buy the book.
No, you know, the book goes through all kinds of things, technical, equipment. But then the last chapter is called Making Money. And I think the problem is some people start with that chapter.
Right.
No, most people shouldn't even read that chapter.
Yeah. Yeah. Most people can skip right over that.
No, most people be very safe in skipping that
actually,
chapter.
Actually, there's only one page of content in that chapter. And if you actually go any further than that, it's just ipsum lorem.
Yeah.
Ad infinitum.
Yeah. We'll right. come back to that in Everybody Has a Podcast Except You, too.
Yeah.
See, this is why we made the book, is because this is a very difficult craft.
It's harder than it looks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
None of it's harder than it looks. No. That's my main fear about reading. I have this persistent nightmare where everyone who reads it closes the book and they're like, that's it? that's the whole, that's the whole thing.
Well, to add an enthusiastic, positive counter to that, when, you know, just even simple things like, hey, guess what? You got to perform, like turn it up a notch. And guess what else? You have to listen. But I feel like it's like, that is just good. You want to make a good product. Like, this is gold standard. Sure, you could do whatever, but here's how to do the gold standard. That's how I read it.
Thank you. That's very kind. We cheated because we have been building our sort of like rapport, if you will, for the actual content part of our shows our entire lives. I mean, that was the dinner table for us, was like our dad was in morning radio for 40 years. So our dinner table discussion was very much like who can one up the other one. It was abysmal, I'm sure, for our mother. But that was our way we communicated, was joking and goofing and on each other. And like, so that was the natural part. And that was actually the hardest part to write in the book, was to slow down and be like, okay, so wait, how do you do that part?
Yeah.
Because that part we kind of like lucked our way into. And it was everything else that we had to sort of trial by error.
Right, the natural rapport. You're like, well, we're just around each other, so there is going to be natural rapport.
Live with find a great co-host.
Yeah,
go back in time, uh-huh. Be born from the same uterus as them.
Yeah,
and then,
only watch the same movies and TV shows that they do.
Right.
Yeah.
Right?
And so, 2010 is when My Brother and Me started. So mm-hmm. That's, you know, obviously 11 years ago. What episode number are you at?
Close to 550.
550.
Well, we're close. Yeah,
around 550. Yeah.
April will be the 11th and like the 11th what, anniversary.
And final season.
Yeah.
Sunset season.
Well, I've been wondering, do you joke about that? You know, like, this is our final season.
Since we started.
Yeah, right. All right.
Well, we do have, it is, I wish it was a joke, but it is true. Every time we will hit some kind of milestone number, like 100, 200, 250, and we'll be like, oh, wait, this is 250. We should have planned something. That has happened at every milestone.
Not a joke. We just skipped episode 420 because we knew that we would not be able to come up with a great episode-long gag based on the fact that that is the marijuana number.
Right. Yeah.
And so if you look at our feed, it just goes 419 to 421. And we said, like, it'll happen when it happens. Like, a thief in the night episode 420 will come
just
to
all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Like, right. 3 years from now, just 420.
It might already be published now. Go look, everybody.
Go look. No, it's not.
You know what? I'm just letting you know, from my point of view, this is it.
This is what
this is
420. That's fine.
Star Wars 10 is actually going to be Bim Bam 420. Yeah, so it's worked out.
Okay, so listen, I know you just played together, and you know what? You did well. It's hard playing together, especially when you're all in different locations. But you're used to playing together. But how about some competition?
Yes, please.
Oh yeah.
Good
talking. It's a little some leg wrestle. What are we talking?
He'll like wrestle through the virtual world.
Through Zoom, it'll be tough. It'll be tough.
This so you're enemies in this game.
Okay. Oh, in the game. Okay.
It's called Where Should We Eat? We're going to give you the name of a geographic location in the United States with a delicious sounding name. You're just going to tell us if it's a real place or a fake place that we made up. This is a speed round. So to increase the pressure, we are going to put an amount of time on the clock.
Okay. Not going
to
tell us what that,
in the future.
What that amount like, is. Okay.
No, no, that would ruin the mystery. Griffin's going to go first.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Griffin, these are for you. So you're just going to, I'm going to throw out the names of these places. You're going to say if they are real or fake.
Okay.
Are you ready?
I am ready.
Here we go. Chili, Wisconsin.
True. Yes. Real.
That's real. Barbecue, North Carolina.
No. Fake.
Oh, that's real.
Oh, God.
Baby Back, Oklahoma.
No. Fake.
Definitely not. You're right. It's fake. Corn, Oklahoma.
Real.
Yes. Popcorn, Indiana.
I want to say real.
Yeah. Turkey, Texas.
Fake. That one's
oh,
fake.
No, that's real.
Oh, God.
Chicken, Alaska.
Fake.
Also real.
What's going on? Why are we naming our cities these things?
Yeah, Chicken, Alaska was founded in the 1890s by prospectors mining for gold. They survived the harsh winter by eating those ptarmigans. Those
okay.
Like
yeah.
Little, yeah, and ptarmigan.
Should have maybe called the town that. But...
Yeah, ptarmigan, but they thought okay. It was hard to spell, so.
They were right.
They went for chicken. But you did great. You got 4 out of 7.
I can't believe I missed Turkey, Texas. I live in Austin. I am a fake Texas boy.
Well, now you know where to vacation.
Yeah.
All right, Travis, it is your turn to try to beat or match Griffin's score.
Okay.
Here we go. Cookie Town, Oklahoma.
Fake.
That is real.
What?
Kit Kat, Kansas.
Fake.
Fake. Okay. Correct. Pop-Tart, Missouri.
Fake.
Also fake. Strawberry, South Carolina.
Real.
Yes. Cream, Wisconsin.
Real.
Yes. Hot coffee, Mississippi.
Fake.
Real.
What?
Pie Town, New Mexico.
Real.
Yes, that's correct. Real. Pie Town is a tiny historic town in New Mexico named for a bakery that used to be there.
Oh. Wait a minute. Wouldn't you
fight
to...
They couldn't keep it?
Yeah.
So, Travis, who would know half of these things? This is like, you know, not knowledge. Most people carry around with them. But still, I would do the same thing. When you get it wrong, you're like, what? Like, yeah. How is that possible?
No, it's more like when I found out Cookie Town is a place, how have I not been there?
True. Right.
That was more the
seems
thing.
Like it would be a fun place to visit.
Right?
Yeah.
Between Huntington, where we grew up in the state capital, there is a road. It's I-64. And along I-64 are two smaller towns. One is called Nitro and one is called Hurricane. And we call it Danger Corridor because it's the most thrilling stretch of road. But Hurricane is pronounced Hurricane.
Yep.
And if you say Hurricane, it's incorrect.
There's a place near where I grew up in Alberta, Canada, called Head Smashed in Buffalo Jump.
Huh.
Awesome.
Wow, what's the story behind that, I
it's wonder? Yeah, it's really, it's a literal story, and you know how it ends.
Yeah, it says it right there on the 10.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
All right. Travis, you got 5 out of 7, currently our champion. So, Justin, this is up for, it's up for you.
Going to lose.
Let's see if you're going to score a match 5. So, are these places real or fake? Here we go. Oatmeal, Texas.
Real.
Real. Cereal, Pennsylvania.
Real.
Yes. Bagel, New Jersey.
Fake.
Correct. Toast, North Carolina.
Real.
Correct. Potato Creek, South Dakota.
Real.
Yes. Two Egg, Florida.
Fake.
That's real. And finally, Rabbit Hash, Kentucky.
Real.
That is real.
Ah.
Wow.
Justin.
Solid.
You did it. You did it.
I defeated fate there by answering the opposite of my instinct for everyone.
Oh, nice.
Take that.
That's perfect.
Take
it was
that,
like a
fate.
Magic trick. You're like a seer.
You know,
that was amazing.
Your brain has
to work
really
fast.
I'm
the reverse
of a seer. I'm the reverse of a seer.
Your brain has to work fast to like hear what it wants to say, negate it, and then make 6 out of 7. Great. You all did great. All right. We have one more game for you. Are you up for one more?
Yes.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay, so the three of you host the Dungeons & Dragons podcast, The Adventure Zone, so we have created a D&D-themed trivia game for you. Here's how it works. Jonathan Colton and I will guide you through a dungeon where you'll encounter a series of deadly monsters. Each monster will ask you a multiple-choice trivia question about Dungeons & Dragons. Okay. If you answer correctly, you will get a weapon, and that will make it easier for you to defeat the monster. You will fight the monster by rolling a 20-sided die.
Okay.
Okay.
And if you make it to the end, you will find untold riches and treasures.
Oh, that's great.
I'm a warlock in this one.
Griffin's a warlock. Travis, who are you?
Dwayne the Rock Johnson, but I'm a rogue.
I didn't know you could do that.
Yeah.
I also want to be Dwayne the Rock Johnson.
I'm early wrestling career Dwayne the Rock Johnson.
Okay.
Okay, and I'm Dwayne the Warlock Johnson.
Justin?
I'm Larry the Cable Guy who took over for Dwayne the Rock Johnson in The Tooth Fairy 2. So I'll be Larry the Cable Guy. Lawrence the Cable Gentleman, as we call him.
Okay, here we go. You enter a dark, dank dungeon. Already. This is classic. We're in classic text.
Good alliteration.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A gelatinous cube appears. It's a 10-foot cube made of ooze that eats everything in its path. It asks you a trivia question. Who is credited as the father of Dungeons & Dragons? Is it A, Barry Gravlox? B, Gary Gygax?
That's the one.
Or is it C, Stephen Snorlax?
No, it's Gary
Gygax. It's a trick, Justin. This is
that's
a trick.
Great. That's great.
This is a trick question. It's definitely Stephen Snorlax. And it's. I yell out Stephen Snorlax, and as I'm dissolved by the gelatinous cube's form, I give a thumbs up, like, worth it.
Luckily, Dwayne the Rogue Johnson had a healing potion. I bring Griffin back.
Oh.
Great.
Justin, you got that correct. So, guess what? You found a weapon.
What kind of weapon?
It's a salt shaker. You get to use a salt shaker against the gelatinous cube. So roll a 4 or higher to beat it.
Question.
Yeah. I rolled a 1.
You rolled a 1?
Yeah.
Okay. So what is
this right here? It's the 1.
Yeah, okay.
Does
well,
Justin
the gelatinous...
die in real life?
If you die and ask me another, you die in real life. Yes, Travis.
Yeah.
That's right.
Guess what? The gelatinous cube eats your left arm.
Oh,
but
man.
You managed to escape.
Okay. Okay, that could have been worse. That could have been much worse.
Take the L and move on, I guess. You continue deeper into the dungeon. A phantom fungus appears. It is a 4-legged fungus that attacks with its gaping maw, as one does. Mm. It asks you a trivia question. The very first Advanced Dungeons & Dragons Player's Handbook was published in 1978. Which of these is not a character class, a.k.a. profession, that you can choose to play as? A. Barbarian. B, magic user. C, monk. It was according to the 1978 original edition of the Advanced.
I'm going to say C, monk. Yeah, that was my instinct too.
Yes, absolutely. I'm actually going to say Stephen Snorlax as the answer for this question as well.
It's a trick question. Stephen Snorlax.
You are all incorrect. It is A, barbarian.
Really?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, they added that. They added that later. The first character classes were just cleric, fighter, magic user, thief, and monk.
Huh. What?
All right. So you have to roll an 8 or higher to defeat the phantom fungus.
I rolled an 18.
You smear the fungus with antifungal cream, and it clears up in 3 to 5 days.
Oh, good.
Congratulations. All right, great. Good news. You have reached the treasure room. It is full of ring lights and PlayStation 5s.
Yeah.
So, congratulations.
Well done.
But you have awoken a dragon from its slumber. It asks you a trivia question. Tom Hanks starred in a 1982 made-for-TV movie as a college kid who has a psychotic episode while playing a real-life version of a fantasy role-playing game. What was the title of this film? Was it A, Castles and Cauldrons, B, Mazes and Monsters, or C, Turner and Hooch?
That's gonna be Mazes and Monsters right there.
Yeah, that is Mazes and Monsters.
Ooh boy, that movie is a trip. I think isn't that Tom Hanks's like first starring role in a film?
It was like a made for TV movie, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, and his last.
Yeah,
I wonder whatever happened to him. Yeah,
yeah,
I know.
I guess I have to watch it. I've never.
No.
Really admit. No.
Duh.
No, not even now? Not even now? When
no,
it's,
please.
It's cool watching old Tommy Hanks in a movie that is
Little Tiny Tom.
That's Sully right there. That's Sully that's been sucked in by the devil game.
One of my favorite, and this is absolutely true, Vin Diesel is a huge D&D like fanatic. And the last Witch Hunter movie that they made is based off of like a campaign he was playing with his friends, and he went in to like a studio and said, hey, this campaign I'm playing is really good, we should make a movie out of it.
That movie would have been so much better if it was called like Vin Diesel's Magical Journey.
That's right.
Vin and Friends.
So if you've ever wondered why that movie The Last Witch Hunter ends with Vin Diesel directly addressing in the camera and saying, so I don't know, that's as far as we've played so far.
We ran out of Doritos and we had to take a break.
We take a break. Kevin's mom came home, so maybe we'll make another one. I don't know.
Dougie just got married. You know how it goes.
Yeah. Really, this movie's about family.
Well, you guys have found a weapon to use against the dragon. It is an ASMR YouTube video with the sounds of crinkling paper, tapping, and soft whispering that calm even the deadliest beast. Roll a 7 or higher.
All right, Justin, redemption.
Justin, you got it.
15.
That is higher. The dragon got bored, has drifted off into a peaceful slumber. The treasure is yours.
Hooray!
I immediately start scalping them.
We can
scalp
add
the dragon?
No,
we
the
can
PlayStations.
Add, finding a dragon's treasure hoard to our chapter about how to make money in podcasting.
Yeah,
yep.
That's the only surefire thing I found so far is finding a dragon's hoard.
The old dragon's hoard. I like that we just ended with, it's yours, the treasure. Yep. It's yours.
You did it.
Justin Travis and Griffin McElroy host A Million Podcasts, and their new book is called Everybody Has a Podcast Except You, a how-to guide from the first family of podcasting. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you for having
us.
Thank
you.
This has been very fun.
Yeah. Very pleasant.
Thank you. And that's the end of episode 420. Ask Me Another's house musician is Jonathan Colton.
Hey, my name anagrams to Thou Jolt a Cannon.
Our puzzles were written by our staff, along with Ruth Morrison, Emily Winter, and senior writers Eric Feinstein and Karen Lurie, with additional material by Kara Weinberger. Ask Me Another is produced by Travis Larchuk, Nancy Seychow, James Sparber, Ramel Wood, and our intern, Sophie Hernandez Simeonithis. Our senior supervising producer is Rachel Neal, and our boss's bosses are Steve Nelson and Anya Grunman. Thanks to our production partner, WNYC. I'm Haripe Begonias.
Ophira Eisenberg.
And this was Ask Me Another from NPR.
On the TED Radio Hour, researcher Sasha Lucioni says AI can help us find climate solutions. But just training the technology itself uses a ton of energy.
Training ChatGPT, for instance, emits as much carbon as 5 cars in their lifetime.
Tech's Climate Conundrum. That's on the TED Radio Hour from NPR.
Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me isn't just jokes about the week's news, it's also life hacks. For example, here's actor Karen Allen revealing how she got her starring role in Raiders of the Lost Ark.
They said, how well can you spit? Ooh. And I just found it coming out of my mouth. I said, oh, I can hawk him with the best.
I'm Peter Sagal. If you want to increase your self-confidence, then listen to the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me podcast from NPR.
The economy right now is bewildering, impenetrable, inconceivable.
Not when you have the Indicator podcast in your ears. In under 10 minutes every day, we simplify the complicated news, like...
How does inflation drop? What the heck is a SPAC? Why are trendy little high-fiber sodas suddenly dominating store shelves?
And more. Listen to the Indicator from Planet Money and NPR.